So I want to ask you maybe a little bit of a loaded question this morning, and I understand that it is. And so if you're in the room, I want you to turn to your neighbor. If you're online, I want you to jump into the chat, and I want you to answer this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how ready are you for Christmas? Okay, so 1 being the least ready, 10 being, let's go, we could do it today, let's do that, right? Scale of 1 to 10, jump in the chat, or in the room, just turn to your neighbor, tell them what it is, Scale 1 to 10, where are you right now? 1 to 10, where are you? How ready for Christmas are you? How ready? All right. Do I have any 10s in the room? Do I have any 10s? 10s, raise your hand. Be proud. You've probably been ready since October. You know, you guys make us all. Do I have any below threes? Do I have any below? Oh, there we are. Man, you guys raise your hand awfully quick for people that procrastinate that much. That's kind of amazing there. But, you know, it's kind of a loaded question, is it? Because, like, whenever you're a kid, somebody could ask you that question on Mother's Day. Like, are you ready for Christmas? You're like, dude, you have no idea. It's like, I've already got my list started, you know, got everything ready to go. And, but then as we get older, it becomes a little bit more loaded there, doesn't it? It really, really is. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, I don't know about that, because it begins to add a little bit of anxiety, you know, to our lives, because there's just so much that goes on during this time of the year. It's just a busy, busy time. In fact, Christmas has become a source of anxiety for many people. There was a recent poll that was taken, like in the last couple of years, in the UK, asking people about Christmas and stress. And 50% of the adults who responded to this poll said that Christmas is the most stressful and anxiety-inducing time of the year. Half of adults, like, this is the most stressful, anxiety-inducing time of the year. In fact, 16% of these people in this poll said that they would rather do their tax return than go to their family Christmas. Wowzers right there. Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. But it's like, it is so easy to be anxious this time of year. It's like, oh my goodness, am I putting on weight? Yeah, you are. You know, it's just, this what's kind of going on. It's like, oh my goodness, I got to make the perfect Christmas card. Oh no, I want this Christmas to be as good as last year, or even better than last year was. Oh no, I've got to make the perfect dinner. Oh no, people are asking us to go eat out an awful lot of times. Oh no, I've got to spend a whole bunch of money. Oh no, I have no control over my calendar. It's like, it's just got stuff every single night of the week. And it's like, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And it's like, well, yeah. It's also like one of the most stressful times of the year that we have as well. And it's funny, because what should be and what could be a time of slowing down, of reflecting and celebrating, focusing in on hope and love and joy and peace, it causes so much anxiety in people that medical professionals are taught to be on the lookout for what they call Christmas stress patients. Like, just be on the guard. These people are going to be coming in. They're characterized by anxiety, poor sleep, headaches, loss of appetite, and poor concentration. Some of you go, well, that's me in June. And it's like, well, that's just because you're anxious. Okay, but I mean, that happens this time of year as well. And here's what I found just actually heartbreaking. Do you know that January is the busiest month of the year for divorce lawyers? So coming right out of the holiday season, people are signing the dotted line and saying, this is all over. And so as we continue into week two of our series, where we're talking about All I Want for Christmas, where we're looking at this idea of what do we want, and really, it's what do we need this time of year? What do we really want? What do we really need? We're talking about this idea. It's like, here's what God is offering for us. And so last week we said, what do we really want? What do we really need? We need hope. A confident expectation in God himself, that being faithful isn't what God does, it's who he is. And so we can put our hope in God no matter what else is going on around us. And today, what do we really need? What do we really want? We want to be free from anxiety. We want to be free from stress. In other words, what do we want? We want some peace. It'd be great to have some peace this time of year. And so today I want to invite you to find the Old Testament book of Micah. And I'm sure you all did your morning devotions in Micah this morning, so you'll have no trouble finding it. But if you're having a little trouble, here's three ways to find it. Number one, you can go to Matthew, okay, the first book of the New Testament, and go backwards seven books, all right? The other way you can find it is if you can find Jonah, it's in between Jonah and Nahum right there. And if all else fails, you have a table of contents in your Bible, okay? You can just find it there or use your Bible app and get there. But Micah chapter 5 is where we're going to be. He's a prophet. And whenever you hear that word prophet, here's what it means. He's just a seer, okay? He's a seer. In other words, he is someone that God has allowed to see things that are coming down the road. And Micah is writing as a prophet during a time whenever God's people weren't following the ways that God had laid out before them. This is 700 years before Christmas, y'all, okay? So it's a few years before Jesus is even born. And the people of Israel have some major, major problems. The biggest one is that, like, they're just, like, wrapped up into idolatry. And for a group of people whose number one command is, "You shall have no other gods before me," that's like a big no-no. And so God has been telling them and telling them, look, if you guys don't knock it off, I'm going to send people. You're going to go back to being slaves again. You're going to go back. You're going to be in captivity again. If you don't quit. And the people, well, they don't quit. And so God sends these prophets like Micah into the nation to be like, here's the best way I know how to explain it. It's like they're like God's engine warning light on the dashboard for the people of Israel. You guys know what I mean. You're driving down the road and there's an engine light. It starts blinking at you, or a little, you know, light just starts going off. And what you're supposed to do at that moment as that happens, you're supposed to go, gee, I wonder what's causing that to take place, right? And so I should probably take it to the shop, or I should call my friend who's got one of the code readers, or, you know, I should, you know, make sure I've got all the maintenance stuff going on with it. And that's what you're supposed to do, right? It's like, oh, there's a blinking light that is not a Christmas light. It is not to be ignored. Let's figure out what's happening here. Okay. And that's what the prophets were doing. They're this blinking engine warning light to the people of Israel. Things aren't right. Things aren't right. Things aren't right. And what the people of Israel did, which none of you would do, okay, as I know none of y'all would do this, is they just ignored the warning light that was right there. In fact, they didn't just warn it. They didn't just ignore it. They, like, put duct tape over it. And they're like, this is annoying. I don't want to see this any longer. And so Micah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these guys, they're saying things aren't going well. Things aren't going well. You guys need to pay attention. And so what God does is he gives Micah this vision. He says, here's what's going to happen. Despite the failures of my people, I'm still faithful. Because being faithful is who I am. It's not just what I do. And I have something that is coming. I am still at work. I'm still in control. And I have a plan that is going to make everything right again. And in Micah chapter 5, he lays this out. We'll listen to it in verse 2. This is what it says. It says, but you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. In other words, look to the future. Something great, someone great is coming. Even from this tiny, tiny little town of Bethlehem, even from this little hick town, God is going to do something because someone is coming who is going to be unlike anybody who has ever walked the face of this earth before. And he says, therefore, Israel will be abandoned until that time. Until the time, okay, when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. And then he tells us, let me tell you what this guy's going to be like. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. In other words, he's like, I know the way your current leaders are. I know how they are. And unlike these current leaders, this guy, my guy, the guy I'm going to send to you, the one that's going to be born in Bethlehem, the one who's going to be my shepherd, he's going to be completely different. He's going to do exactly what I want him to do. He's going to take care of my people exactly how they need to be taken care of. He's going to shepherd them. And he is going to be such an incredible ruler. It is going to expand until the very end of the earth. It's going to reach to the ends of the earth. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. But here's what I want us to see. It's that last little phrase. And for those of us who are stressed out, anxious, just worried about everything that's going on this time of the year, any time of the year, listen to what Micah says. He says, and he will be our peace. Why don't you just say that with me? You guys ready? Just that last phrase. And he will be our peace. Now, I don't know about you, but that's actually a little bit of a surprising statement to me. Because what I expect Micah to say is he will bring them peace. Right? That this new ruler, this new shepherd, this Messiah, this Christ, that there's coming a time whenever God is going to send someone who's going to free them from oppression, put an end to their suffering and anxiety, make everything right. He's going to bring them peace. And what Micah is saying, what the Lord is saying through Micah, is that this guy, who would be Jesus, if you need a spoiler, all right? We're a little slow today. Who is Jesus? He's going to do that. But he's going to do so much more than just bring peace. He will what? He will be your peace. And what that means is he is going to provide everything that we need in order for us to have peace. That there is no threat facing you that can survive in his presence. Because he is going to face your threats, not you. He is going to be our peace means that whenever I lack, he provides. That my stress becomes his stress. That whenever I'm overwhelmed with guilt and a lack of peace with God because of my sins, he will remove my sins and my guilt by his blood because he is my peace. He doesn't just bring me peace. He is my peace. And this is why, as Linus would tell us in Charlie Brown Christmas, right? Remember, the lights fade, the spotlight goes on. And what does Linus say? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that would be Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then after it says that, a whole bunch of angels show up and they begin to sing. And what is their song? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. See, that peace that we're looking for, it arrived in Jesus. He is our peace, and that peace is not just the absence of conflict or turmoil. It's bigger than that. It is the restoration of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not just the absence of our conflict or turmoil, but it's this restoration, the realigning of mankind's relationship with God himself. That is good news. That is great news. That peace is available in and through Jesus. Why? Because he is our peace. He will be our peace. And I don't know about you, but man, it feels like that's something I could use in my life. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of peace this Christmas? I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to say, I am at peace. My soul is sleeping well because I have peace in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great if people looked at Corinth Christian Church and the people who call Corinth Christian Church home, if they looked and they said, you know what? You can't find any Christmas stress patients there. Why? Because they have figured out how to have Jesus as their peace. They have leaned in to Jesus as their peace. And so if we want to do that, if we want to just get to put some practical ideas to this of how can we lean into this gift of peace that Jesus offers, I want to invite you to flip back into your New Testament just a little bit, over to the New Testament letter of Philippians chapter 4. And it's written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi. Paul's writing in prison. If you've been in church before, this is a fairly familiar passage before. If this is your first time here, first time in church, then maybe you've never heard this, but this is an incredible passage. Just two verses is all we need to just kind of get an idea of how we can develop this peace in our lives. And so look at what Paul says here. He starts off by saying, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. And I don't know, as I first read that, I kind of feel I don't know if you've ever said to anybody, it's man, I'm just really worried about, and you fill in the blank, and you just lay it all out to them. And then without thinking, they said, well, hey, just stop worrying about it. And you kind of just think, oh, well, why didn't I think of that? Right? Why not? I just shouldn't worry about it. Okay, that's great. That's about as helpful as whenever you've lost your keys and somebody goes, well, where's the last place you had them? If I knew the answer to that, they would not be lost, right? That's kind of the thing. And it's kind of like Paul is just like, well, hey, you know, thanks for that. That's a great verse and everything. But I don't know if I know how to do that. If I knew how to do that, I wouldn't be worried about it. So thankfully, Paul just doesn't say, don't be anxious about anything. But what does he say? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. All right. So here we go. Let's slow this down. Don't make this difficult. In what situations are we to not be anxious? Every situation, right? It doesn't matter what we're facing at home, at work, at school, on the team. It does not matter. Paul's like, in every situation, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, here's what we need to do. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So here's what Paul says. Instead of being crippled by your fear and your anxiety, Paul says, pray about it. Pray about it. Hand it over to God. Now, here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about me. Most of us, we already do this. This is something that we already do because when our lives are filled with things that make us anxious, that's whenever we spend most of our time praying. Here's what I know. Almost all of us are expert in prayer whenever a need arises. Almost all of us, like just past week or so, I got a message from a friend, and he's not from this area, so don't go trying to figure out who it is, okay? But just got a message from a friend, and he had left his house at 4:45 in the morning. He'd quit his job and said, "I think I'm leaving my wife." Okay, easy to pray then, right? Super easy to just jump in and go, oh my gosh, God, you got to help him out. You got to help him out. What's going on here? Reveal what needs to be revealed. Reveal that which is concealed. Any secrets that need to be brought out, you bring them out into the light. You sanitize this with your light. Jesus, you be with him. You protect him. You know, that's scary stuff. Whenever the need arises, almost every single one of us in the room, we're experts in prayer. So that's why Paul, he doesn't just say, hey, whenever you're anxious, pray about it. He's like, I already know you do that. He said, but let me just kind of redirect your prayer just a little bit here. And he says, I want you to pray, I want you to petition. And then he adds this two little words there, with thanksgiving. He's like, that's the key. And really, this is where Paul goes from preaching to meddling, because now he's getting into our business. It's like, Paul, I just want to pray. I just want to ask God to do things that I want him to do. That's how I want to do this. That's how I want this to roll. I want you to fix my family. I want you to fix my job. I want you to fix my friends. I want you to give me the solutions to my problems the way I think that they need to be solved, right? But you want to know what's hard? Is praying not with the outcomes in mind, but praying with thanksgiving. Because that's what the command is. Pray with thanksgiving in mind, not outcomes. And so how do we do this? And I want to give you the key. This is how you unlock this, all right? This is not rocket science, all right? But here's the thing. Here's the answer. You thank God before you make the request. You thank him before you make the request. Now, you think about it. Like whenever we're raising our kids, we're always teaching them, hey, be sure to say please and be sure to say thank you. Say please, say thank you, say please, say thank you, and that's good, it's right, that's what we need to do. But sometimes we go to our Father in heaven and we go with the same approach. I would like to suggest that we need to flip the two in our prayers, that we say thank you, please, when it comes to our God. And that we begin with our thanksgiving, and then we make the request. And so it sounds something like this. It's like, God, whatever you're going to do with this prayer of mine is good, and I believe you, and I believe in that. And so I'm thanking you right now, even before the answer has arrived, that you are going to answer this prayer. And I know, God, that if I'm asking for something that's not the best or it's the wrong time, and you don't give it to me, then I'm thanking you for that. Because if you give me something the opposite, even though I might not understand it, even though it may be difficult and I might not be happy about it, I know that you are God and I am not, and you know what you're doing. So thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do. See, thanking God ahead of the time for the things you request is the key, because that's where we find peace. That's where it's located. Because that's what leads us to more confidence. Because whenever you're saying, God, I trust you, and I'm thanking you no matter what the answer is here, that's where we're able to rest and to be able to go, okay, he's got this. He's got it under control. It's not about me. It's not about my creativity. It's not about me figuring out how to make all this stuff work. He's got this under control. I can rest. I can say, God has this, not Adam, and that's a great thing. Because his plans are always better than my plans. And I've got all kinds of plans, but it's his purpose that prevails. So we just trust. That's what changes us. And so that's why Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So if you were taking notes and if you just want to scribble out to the side, it's the three keys. It's pray, petition, present, right? That's what it is. We're going to pray, we're going to petition, we're going to present. We're going to pray about them, petition with thanksgiving, and then we are going to present them to the Lord. Now, here in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from today, depending on how your family does things, there are going to be a lot of people giving a lot of gifts, a lot of people presenting people with presents, and they're going to open them, and what happens whenever you open your present? You take possession of it, right? You get to keep that. Can you imagine how awkward it would be this Christmas, 2 weeks from now, all right? In fact, if you want to mess with your kids, here's what I want you to do, all right? Is I want you to give them a present, and then after they open it and they're really excited about it, just take it from them, okay? And say, yeah, I know I gave this to you, but I think I want it more than that. And so I want to use what I gave you. And in your kids can be like, well, that's not how this works, right? You give a gift, I get to keep it. You presented it to me. You gave me a present. Because when something is given, when it's presented, it becomes theirs, right? We give it over to him. Now listen, prayer is us presenting. It is, play with me, presenting our struggles to him. It is gifting our anxieties. It's gifting our stresses, our worries, and we give them over to him. And what do so many of us do? Is we wrap it up, put a nice little bow on it, and we give it to him and say, God, this is yours. I want you to have it. He opens it up and says, great, I'll take care of this. And you say, yeah, but I want it. Can I have that back? Can you imagine how different your life would be if you were able to take all those things, wrap them up, put a little bow on it, and give them to the Father and leave them with the Father? That's the picture here that Paul is giving us. Present them to him. Gift them to him. Cast all your anxieties upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Let him have them. And you give them to him, and then you trust him that he is going to do what he is going to do, and he is going to do better and far more than you could ever dare to hope, dream, or imagine than you could. I mean, can you imagine the kind of weight that would be lifted off of us if we did that and learned to live in that way? You know what you would experience if you were able to do that? Peace. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says in verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You pray, you petition with thanksgiving, you present them to God, and what do you get? You get the peace of God. And he will be the one who will guard over your hearts. See, so often we're the ones who want to guard everything in our life. And we want to fight, we want to protect, and guys, listen, we need to do those things. But what God is offering here is that in the midst of all these things, that even when it doesn't feel like it, he is going to give us peace that is beyond all understanding. And that peace will guard over us no matter what else is happening in your life. I mean, wouldn't it be good to have that kind of peace? That kind of confidence? And that's the message of Christmas. That's what Micah is saying 700 years before Jesus is born. That's what the angels are singing about as Jesus is born. And listen, even as Jesus is getting ready to leave the world, it is what he promised us. In John 16:33, he gives us his 100% money back guarantee. And this is what he says, in this world you will have trouble. He's like, I guarantee it. Take it to the bank. It's coming. And we, many of us, a lot of us know that verse and are like, yeah, that's true, man. It is. In this world, we got trouble. That's what we find. But we forget that right before he says that, he says this, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So before he's born, when he's born, as he's leaving this planet, what does Jesus say? What is the message of Christmas? You can have peace. And so your bottom line this morning is this, is when you have the presence of Jesus, you have the gift of peace. That's what you have. It is a gift that God gives us. His presence leads to our peace. And so here's my challenge to you this week, is I want you, and we're just going to play our word game here, I want you to present your anxieties to him. Whenever you came in today, I mean, you should have received a little business card here that just at the top says, he will be our peace. And then it's got Philippians 4:6 written on it. And I want to encourage you to take this, and I want you to keep it with you, put it in your wallet, take a screenshot of it, make it your screens, oh my goodness, what's the word now? Wallpaper, there's the word I'm looking for. Post it, put it on your dashboard, put it over that warning light that's been there for a little bit, just put it on your car dashboard. Put it on your computer monitor at work, wherever you need to have it. Put it on the front page of your Bible. And it's just going to remind you that do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present. We're going to present our anxieties to him. And so whenever you're sitting there and you're overwhelmed with anxiety and you're just going, oh my goodness, God, what's going on with my kids? I your prayer for your kids is 3 John 4. I could have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. And you're sitting there and you're looking at that and you're going, oh my goodness, I don't know that they are. And it's really easy for me to get anxious about this. God, what's going on? How are they going to get there? What's happening? And then you just remember, oh, wait a second. I'm going to present that anxiety to him. And I'm going to gift it to him. And I'm going to remind myself, Jesus, you've loved my kids a lot longer than I have. And you have better plans for my kids than I do. And whenever you're looking at your marriage and you're sitting there just going, oh, my goodness, God, I don't know. We may be one of those people in January lining up at the divorce lawyer office because I don't know what's going on. You know, my husband, he's emotionally distant. Or my wife, you know, she's cold, she's critical. And it's just we can't get along any longer. And we've been roommates for the past 5 years. And I don't have a clue what's happening here. And I'm worried. I'm afraid. I'm scared. Wait a second. I'm going to present that anxiety to the Father. I'm worried right now, but God, here you go. I need you to take this because, God, I don't know what I'm going to do about my aging parents. Things are just not getting, things aren't getting better. They're not going to get better. And, you know, mom's starting to forget things. Dad is just kind of starting to just go off the, you know, his rocker a little bit. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take care of them. I have no clue. They don't have enough money to take care of this. What's going to go on? Oh, wait a second. I need to wrap that up and give it to the Lord because he cares for me. I'm going to give this to him. And you keep it, Lord. It was a few weeks ago that I was at the house of one of our dear saints who was nearing her end of life on this earth. Had a battle with cancer for a couple of years. And went over there and she wanted to talk about her service, her funeral service that was coming up. And go over there and we're praying with her. And as we're sitting there, she says to her husband, "Hey, go to the bedroom and on the nightstand, bring me my note cards." And so he's a great husband, so he did exactly what she said, and he goes into the bedroom. He brings out a stack. It was probably about that thick or so of just like 3x5 note cards. And then she said something that I don't ever want to forget. Said, any time over the past couple of years, whenever I've been scared, whenever I've been dealing with anxiety or the pain has just been too great, I would write these Bible verses down and then I would just read them to myself and I would pray them to God and remind myself that God is with me. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's how you experience peace. That even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of everything going awry, not going the way that you wanted it to go, where do you find peace? It's in him. Because he is our peace. And here's the thing. if you want that kind of peace, the only way to get it is you've got to admit that there's a conflict. And that conflict is this. I am a sinner. I am unholy. I have done things that I shouldn't have done. I have not done the things that I should have done. And I am a sinner in need of grace. And Jesus is the answer to that. He is what brings me peace, but he is my peace. Because on the cross, he destroyed the dividing wall between us and him, between us and one another. And because of that, this Christmas, today, you can know peace. You can have peace. And so if you're watching online and you're ready to say, you know what, I'm a sinner. There's conflict here. God and I, we're not right. We're not good. Then we want to invite you to the website on the screen and say, and tell us you're ready to begin your relationship with Jesus. Let us reach out to you this week. If you're in the room, oh my goodness, today is a great day to just say, I'm ready to experience peace. I'm tired of stress. I'm tired of anxiety. I'm tired of being fearful. I'm tired of all of these things. I'm tired of trying to carry everything on my own. It comes whenever you say, Jesus, I need you to save me. And if you're ready to begin that relationship with Jesus, I want you to grab that connection card. Tell us you're ready to do that. Hand that to an usher as you're leaving out today or bring it up to me. Let's talk. Let's talk about how you can receive the greatest gift of peace. So, Father, what we're asking today is that your peace would overwhelm us and that we would be able to see that it is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are able to experience peace, because we cannot save ourselves. But only you can save us. And so, Father, may we know you, and may we receive your peace today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.